Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They teased it, they promoted it, and they certainly went through with it. Hologram Harry Caray sang the seventh inning stretch at the Field of Dreams game last night. It got a huge reaction in our audience and across social media. And I found myself wondering, I wonder what Harry Caray's family felt about that. Good, bad, or indifferent, genuinely have no idea. So back on the show, longtime Cubs broadcaster, now the voice of the Atlanta Braves, Chip Caray with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. Chip, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. My pleasure.
What was it like seeing Granddad as a hologram last night?
It was kind of cool. I can't speak for the rest of the family, but yeah, it's cool. Look at, you know, that movie brings back so many nostalgic memories for anybody who's lost their dad. And, the scene at the end where, hey, Dad, you want to have a catch? There's nothing I wouldn't give to be able to do that with my dad. And when Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad came out in right field, I know both of those guys, that was a tearjerker, lump in the throat moment. And, you know, look, my grandfather meant a lot to a lot of people in Chicago, and he just had a great time and fun at the ballpark. And to have him be a special part of that coming out of the corner, as it were, with a the backdrop of Dyersville, Iowa, and that movie was really, really special and really, really well done. So I was pleased.
Do they have to get the Caray family permission to do something like that?
They didn't ask me. the guy that looked like Caray was kind of cross of Harry and Grant DePorter, who runs the restaurant downtown. So maybe they called Grant. I'm not sure how that worked. But needless to say, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery, as we all know. And
okay.
The fact that Fox thought enough to have him be a part of their special show was really, really cool.
It's funny. Yeah, we know Grant. We just did the Harry Caray toast a couple of months ago. Everything cool with the family and with Grant in terms of the legacy and such?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great. No problems. Everything's great. Business back to normal. And, hopefully as we continue to move out of the COVID stage and we get back to normal, more and more people will get out and enjoy life again. And I can't recommend Harry Caray Steakhouse more enthusiastically than this.
That's awesome. We loved it there for sure, as did our listeners. It did not look, though, a lot like Harry on some level, right? Do you you have any issue with the rounding of the bottom of the face, or was that a different era of Harry than we're expecting to remember?
I guess they're feeding him really well in heaven. That's the only way I can put it. At least I hope he's in heaven. A lot of days I wonder, is he looking down or looking up? But it was fun. That's why I said it looked a little more, it was like a combination of Harry and Grant, which I thought was somewhat apropos. I'm sure Grant will get a kick out of that when he hears this tape.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. It was weird because Spiegs was at the game. And so he was looking in the booth.
Oh, dude. And Chip, we all kept looking at the screen and then looking back up to the booth, because that's what you do when Harry sings. You look at him and you hope that you make eye contact, but there was nobody there.
It was not a hologram.
Yeah.
It was CGI, yeah. But then his hands looked like it was a real person. I was getting very much like Larry David in Seinfeld, like the back of his head is George Steinbrenner vibes. Like some was hologram, some was real. I don't know. The whole thing... It was a little creepy to me, to be honest with you. So yeah, I'm glad you were not creeped out by it.
No, I wasn't creeped out. I'm just not one to join into the metaverse. I have enough trouble living in the universe I'm in, much less one that's digitally created. So whatever they wanted to do was fine with me. I thought it was great. As I said, a wonderful homage, a nice tip of the cap to our family, for which we're always grateful. And as I said, the folks at Fox have always treated me and my family very well, and that they thought enough of my grandfather to have him be a part, as I said, of their special show is a really, really nice thing.
If hologram or CGI Harry was with you, Chip, what's something that you would talk to him about? That would be a nice opportunity.
Well, a couple things. Baseball-wise, I talked about how different the game is. You know, all the analytics and all the numbers and the market efficiencies, which in some ways are fantastic, but they don't necessarily make for great entertainment. That's a problem. Secondly, I think I talked to him about life itself. You know, when I came to Chicago, I was originally supposed to work with him, as we all know, and that story's been told a million times. But I'd love to hear what it was like to take the train with Stan Musial in 1945. I'd like to know what it was like to see Jackie Robinson play for the first time. I'd like to know what it was like to see Ted Williams play in the World Series with the Ted Williams shift. I'd like to know what Ebbets Field and old White Sox Park and Forbes Field were like. I'd like to know about our family. I mean, those are things that were never closed when that circle was broken when he passed away. And so obviously having him around to close those things and meet my family and talk about them and have him experience them, which he never got to really do, would be a wonderful thing as well. But alas, that's not possible. And we just hope that we'll meet someday, hopefully not too soon. And when we do, we'll get those circles all closed up.
That's beautiful. You know how proud he'd be to see all these generations of Carries doing the family business. How are your boys doing as they work together in the minors?
They're great. They're down in Amarillo. They saw something that's only been done once before in baseball history the other day. Player for the Springfield Cardinals hit for the homer cycle. Solo, two-run, three-run, four-run home run in consecutive innings.
Wow.
Against Amarillo. Yeah. So they've got their home run call down. They've been working on that because their ballpark is basically an airport, but they're having a great time and they're creating their own legacy and doing it their way. And I couldn't be more proud of them for that. As they, you know, as you start off in this business, you have to grow up pretty fast, and they've done that. And we'll see where it takes them. You know, there's a Harry the Fourth in that pair of twins, and he and his brother Stefan are kicking butt down there, and can't wait to see where their great talent will take them in the years to come.
That's awesome. Hey, Chip, great call on the Vaughn Grissom homer at Fenway the other night. That is an exciting, crazy good team you've got again. Them or the Mets in the playoffs? What do you think?
I think we'll both make it. Whether we catch the Mets, I think, is an open question. We start a four-game series with them on Monday. We have seven games left with them. All of them are in Atlanta, including the final three games of the regular season. The fact of the matter is we have not played our best baseball against the Mets. We've not pitched particularly well against them. They're a pesky team. They're not just up there trying to slug home runs. They frustrate you. They put the ball in play. And I think we've got to find a way to neutralize some of that and get our pitchers deep into the ball game. But as you said, we've got a very good team. This is a club that's built to hit home runs. I think it's a club that showed in the playoffs that is a strategy that works. Whether the Mets can string together three, four hits in an inning consistently against number one, number two, and number three starters in a long or short series is an open question. But look, they're having a special year. Buck Showalter's done a great job with them. They've got a good team. We've got a good team. We're not mathematically eliminated. We're going to give it our best tonight against the Marlins as we start a four-game series in 3 days tonight down at Lone Depot Park.
Chip, thanks for giving us a few minutes and some insight into what that must have been like last night. Thank you.
It was great. Thanks for asking and keeping the legacy alive, guys. I appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Chip.
That's Chip Carey, voice of the Braves.
Sometimes I don't know whether Harry is looking down or looking up.
It's great.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, they didn't ask. He's like, they at least didn't ask me. So maybe they asked Grant.
That Grant DePorter, the impresario of Harry Carey's, helped create a CGI that looked a little like Grant.
That's a funny thought.
And not at all surprising.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful.
God, is that good.
That is hysterical. I just think, what if that, I know he's, like, Harry doesn't just belong to the Carey family, right? Like, he's a larger-than-life personality and celebrity, and by all accounts, he would have loved it, right? And would have loved the attention and all of that. There's just something about holograms that are weird. If you saw your, like, we were joking in transition,
oh, yeah.
my bubby, your mom, right? Like, if you saw, right? It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
It'd be so weird.
But I'd have some stuff to talk to him about. I loved his list of baseball things that he wished he could have talk to him about. But yeah, that was definitely creepy. By the way, just a moment of hardcore baseball here. We got a Roquan Smith thing we definitely have to talk
about.
We'll
get to it in a little bit.
But the Braves, they called up this kid Grissom, direct from AA, threw him in the lineup, home run. And he is in front of Michael Harris II, who they called up in May, direct from AA, huge part of their team right now. It is okay to bring up guys, put them in, they're good enough, let them play and be part of your team. They just won the World Series. They know they're good. But, yeah, they're aggressive and a very smart organization.
And I think you might see Oscar Colas before the year is over.
Think so?
He is absolutely mashing the ball in AA.
And I know
it would be negligent for him to not try Major League pitching this season. I'm going out there at the end of August. So hopefully he's still there in August, but I think he'll be up in September.
White Sox, let's see, by the end of August, they should be exactly 500.
Probably.
Which is what they are.
At the end of September, too.
Yeah, I think that is true.
Still 1 to 3 games back of first place.
But that stretch coming up at the end of September, have you looked at it, that final week?
Yeah, it's vital.
Very,
the next
very...
48 games, the most important stretch the White Sox have had all season.
Oh my God.
I don't even want them to be there.
Dude, even
that's what is so apparent is that this team has just sucked the joy out of White Sox fans to the point where you're either hate watching them or not watching them. Is there an optimistic White Sox fan left?
No. Maybe Mully.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
I spent all last week
really
with Mully. I don't think he's optimistic anymore.
No. I'll tell you this.
How can you be?
The main reason that I invested in season tickets was to have the right and the ability to purchase playoff tickets at face value.
Yeah.
I will not be buying playoff tickets this year. I'm not going to put the $1,300, $1,400 up front for playoff tickets. I'm just not going to do it.
What if they then make it?
I don't care.
But I'm saying, like, you don't want to, right, because they're on sale soon, right?
Yeah, probably in the next couple weeks, they'll ask for my money.
Right, and so you won't do that. But then what if the last day of the season they win the division?
I don't care.
You won't go?
No.
You won't go.
I'll find a way to go, but instead of paying the $1,300 or $1,400 up front for every possible home game for the playoffs, I'm not doing it. They don't deserve that.
I mean, example number 700 of how outdated the philosophy and managerial theories of Tony La Russa are when somebody who's been as awesome and helpful and valuable as Johnny Cueto has the balls to say it's time for us to show fire if we have any fire, and your response is to say I wish he had would have kept that in house. That's freaking embarrassing and so old school. At a moment when your team is desperate for absolutely anything, I hope to, like hell, that stuff is being said in-house. Should be said by you in-house, frankly. But if one of your most respected veterans who's having an unbelievable year being pulled off the couch on opening day wants to say that about his teammates when he's the one freaking bringing it every single time he's out there, you let him say it. You accentuate it. I'm glad he said that. I wish we did have more fire. I don't know where it is sometimes. They should all listen to him. He's got the fire. He's a badass. That's how you respond, Tony. That's how a modern manager responds instead of some crap about keeping it in-house.
I don't even really think it's about a modern manager as much as it is just at some point, you know, calling a spade a spade. There's an obvious truth.
Be honest about who you are.
Yeah, just some honesty. Because it doesn't even really have to be an indictment. Like, if Johnny Cueto says it, and La Russa's like, that's how he feels, I'm glad he said it.
Yeah.
Like,
we all got to live in the truth. We all got to stand in the truth.
Right,
here.
Like if anyone on the team had an issue with it, Tony can say, take it up with Cueto. You know, like, just, he's a leader. He's a veteran. He's earned the right to make an assessment of himself and the team. And I'm sure if anyone has an issue with what he said, I have all the confidence in our guys that they will talk to Johnny about it and it'll be communicated in this clubhouse. Like, you don't even need to really validate it as much as just allow him to say it. I think it was the contradicting of it or the pushing back on it that just made it seem so ridiculous because you're defending the indefensible.
Yeah.
What's there to defend? Your broadcasters are calling it out on your network.
Uh-huh.
Your post-game show hosts are calling it out. Your fans are calling it
and
out on the internet.
Your and now players are calling it out.
And now your players are calling it out.
Yeah, but you live in a fantasy world where your idea of positivity and keeping things insular makes sense, and it just doesn't make sense anymore.
No, it doesn't. But it's. I said yesterday, if it wasn't for the division, we would just be done talking about them. but because of the division and their two paths to the playoffs, we have to talk about them because of what the expectations were and how much they're falling flat, the record-setting payroll and the fact that they're still alive, the whole thing. They're not going to be done, man. We're going to be doing this for another 8 weeks. You know, honestly.
Six,
I guess, at this point. But
maybe they get wiped out by Houston and Cleveland in the next week and a half, and it's just done.
I doubt it. You could win that division.
I'm rooting for that, by the way. I hope they just get wiped out.
Win one, lose one. Lose two, win three. Lose one, win one. I mean, that's just what it's been all freaking year long.
It's baseball purgatory, baby.
It's no fun.
Waiting to get into heaven or hell.
I don't know whether you're going to end up looking up or looking down.
I literally hurt myself yesterday to see if I could still feel. I can't.
What'd you do? You turned on the game. Yeah. That's how you hurt yourself.
Well, I focused on the pain.
He also rammed his shin at the back of my chair before the show.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about trauma.
That's the only thing that's real, by the way, is the pain.
Yeah.
What's the trauma? I was
editing on the back computer and slid over here in the wheelie chair real fast and slammed my freaking left kneecap on the back of Adam's chair. Mm. You know what? I've never done that once with Tanny here.
Mm.
What have you
That's
become?
That's my fault.
What have you become? My aching friend? I don't know.
What have I become? Is it foolish friend?
My foolish, yeah. Everything.
Everyone I know
goes away.
In the end.
Except Jerry.
And you can have it all.
It's a good cash.
He's doing a good job.
It's a very good cash.
Yeah.
Shane wants to sing.
My empire of dirt.
I'm ready to sing.
I know. Shane,
can you write a song?
Oh, I really wanted to sing the Grease theme. I know you did. The Grease song with Danny.
Which one? Was it Summer Lovin'?
Yeah, whichever one's in like the back and forth in the cafeteria and outside of the school.
Yeah.
Not Summer Lovin'.
You're the one that I want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, it's better. Yeah. It's better than Summer Lovin'. Yeah. Summer Lovin' has some tough lyrics. Summer Lovin' has some date rapey lyrics that have not aged well.
Yeah, hard pass on that.
Yeah, tell me more. Did she put up a fight? Yeah, you can't really do that anymore.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow. No, we can't
yeah,
do that.
No, you don't want that anymore. Grease should be canceled.
Yeah, so should Sandlot.
Sandlot?
No, I'm kidding. A former employee of the station said that.
Oh, the Wendy Peppercorn kiss. Yeah, I remember that fake outrage.
Peppercorn, right?
No, Peppercorn.
It is Peppercorn?
Peppercorn.
Wendy Peppercorn. Yeah.
Peppercorn.
No.
I think it's
not.
We're going to investigate.
Yeah. Let's get to the bottom of that.
Oh, you're going to watch that scene for research? what a sacrifice, Studs.
Peppercorn.
Yeah.
Played by Marley Eve Shelton. Should we see if she's still hot?
I'd be interested in stories from her.
He meant Googling. You meant put her on the air.
We're going to call her up.
Yeah.
Hey, are you still hot?
And remember that baseball player that we called on his birthday?
Fred Lynn.
Let's call Wendy Peppercorn on her birthday.
Fred Lynn's still hot.
That's what I'm saying.
Fred Lynn was totally hot.
Yeah.
I was all about it.
I was looking for a modern day picture on the internet. I was let's talk to Wendy Peppercorn. That'd be great.
Man.
Classic film.
Johnny Bench.
Much better than Fields of Dreams.
Johnny Bench still looked good. Last night.
Fergie throwing a bench. That was cool.
It was awesome.
I was when Jesse Rogers had the list of the people that were there, I was like, why is Ken Griffey Jr. there? That's awesome.
He played with the Reds.
No, I know, but like no one associates Ken Griffey Jr. with the Reds. He wasn't there because he played with the Reds. He was there
for the dad moment.
Yes, he came out with the Reds, and I think he still is getting paid by the Reds. I think but the idea of, I was like, why? That's an interesting thing, because he doesn't show up at all of these baseball events. Like, it's not like you see Ken Griffey Jr. at All-Star Games and World Series.
That's a great choice for father and son, though.
It was perfect.
Being able to explain that to Ruben, so Jr. was good enough at a really young age that he made the major leagues, while dad, who was still good at an old age, was still in the major leagues, and they played together. And he's like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's LeBron James and Bronny. That's the dream for LeBron and Bronny. And we're actually pretty close to that.
It's Parkins afternoon on the Score in like 20 years. Me and Owen.
Where am I going?
I feel like at that point you'll have your
island. I've had enough. I've had my
Yeah. Owen replaces you when you retire in 20 years.
I'll be in year 14 of having replaced Pat Hughes, right? That's how that works.
That's right.
I saw Pat and Zach yesterday in line for food.
Nice.
And but in line to pay for food. And I'm thinking...
What, you think Zach Zaidman's too big to wait in line?
I think Pat Hughes is too big to wait in line.
What are Mitch and Ryan Porth doing there if they're not going to get Pat and Zach and Coom food?
Maybe those guys wanted to take a walk. You know, after you prep for a while, maybe you're ready to take a walk. But I saw them and I said, this seems like something you guys should not have to do here.
So when you get that job replacing Pat Hughes, you expect to not wait in lines anymore?
I think Porth is going to have to get me to get me food. No, I don't expect to get that job. I do not.
I know you don't expect to get
Danny will get it for you.
Exactly.
Call Mitch in here one day. Hey, I know it just used to be the fifth inning, but now he's doing it all the time.
It wants all the innings now.
Yeah. So the Hall of Famer's retiring at some point.
We're not things coming for Speaks.
We're not pushing Pat Hughes out the door. Hope he does it for another 50 years if he wants to. But when he's ready to hang it up, Matt Spiegel.
Nah, you know. I'm sure. I mean, Zach's putting some serious time in.
I know,
and working hard.
I know, but I'm sorry. My loyalties are to you. I don't know what to say. I'm going to be the PR push. He'll have plenty of people pushing for him. Someone's got to stick up for the occasional fifth inning guy who kills base runners.
For the guy who's done 11 innings of big league ball.
Yeah,
all starting
Cubs. How interesting is it to go to the racetrack and bet on the favorite? I like the long shot.
Yeah.
And
that shot is long, Mr. Man.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, I need your theory on what this Roquan Smith story is all about. This is interesting stuff.
Yeah. Well,
is it really somebody who's part of his party, as we've heard about, or is it somebody impersonating?
Interesting stuff. I think that there is a potentially uncomfortable situation happening for the Bears right now. Because an unconventional situation, right? A common situation.
Yeah.
Player wanting a bigger contract, requesting a trade, is now getting very uncommon. We'll give you the details, and then Adam Hoge will join us at 4 o'clock. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Afternoons on The Score.
But he said you have to ask Roquan. We both looked at each other like our heads turned quickly. Okay, yeah, because it was a trigger. Clearly, you know, he made an appearance, but again, no practice. So it's now becoming a real situation here.
That's Jeff Joniak on Mully and Haw. We'll talk to Adam Hoge in half an hour. I still think that the Bears and Roquan Smith are going to work out a contract.
I know you do.
Because I think the Bears have all of the power here. But this is weird.
This is a weird story. And You know, I still think he's going to end up traded. We're on different sides of that, and I continue to think that no matter what the Bears want, I just think that Ryan Poles going to stay dug in. But anyway, this is a very weird story.
So Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk, I'm just going to read the first few paragraphs here so that you guys have the full context and I don't have to paraphrase anything, because I got to admit, this one's kind of weird. He writes, an awkward situation between the Bears and linebacker Roquan Smith could soon be getting even more awkward. Per a league source, a person purporting to represent Smith has been calling other teams in order to gauge potential trade interest. It's a problem for two reasons. First, the person isn't an NFLPA certified agent. He can't represent Smith or any other player. And second, Smith has not received permission to seek a trade.
So before we move further on this, you remember when we were talking about it and like, oh, Roquan doesn't have an agent. Well, now he's only going to need an agent more, we were saying, because now you're going to have to like talk to these other teams and maybe work out long-term contracts with those other teams before a trade could even happen. And Ryan Poles had said, you know, Roquan and his party, like there was somebody, you know, helping to advise him.
Roquan Smith needs to hire an agent today. He needs to hire an agent today because this can't happen. It's literally against the rules. You cannot, the Bears have not given him permission to seek a trade. He's under contract. So your agent can't call other teams when you're under contract if your team doesn't give you the rights to seek a trade.
Safest thing to assume is that this is either A, the legal advisor for him who he's been talking to.
But this is not going to be a player union person.
That's the other question I was going to ask. A union representative, they would know not to do that.
Absolutely. This is someone who is connected enough to make some calls and have some numbers, but not certified within the players union. Does Roquan Smith have a trainer or a personal coach I don't know who it is.
I know.
But there's no way that a member of the players union would sign off on this, because this is like black and white tampering, catch you red-handed. You cannot do this. It is not allowed.
I wonder how this is going, Danny, because like the agent would have the cell phone or the direct email to Ozzie Newsome or to whoever at these other organizations, right? The impresarios of organizations, the talent bosses. Oh, I need to get in touch with Brian Gutekunst in Green Bay. Let me just text him. And this person might be like, hello, Green Bay Packers. How are you?
Right.
Yes, I'd like to speak to Brian Gutekunst. Who's this, please?
maybe.
This person's going through the switchboard trying to get to the people.
But is this the workaround? Is this the workaround? Like, because he's not, this person is not an agent, because this person is not a players union representative, there might not be anything in the NFL rules saying that somebody not associated as an agent or a player rep,
no, man,
they can reach out.
No, you're not allowed.
He's under contract with the Bears. So the Bears have to give you permission to seek a trade. This is basically player instigated tampering. Now, who would you enforce it on is going to be a tough thing to do, right? Like Florio writes, it's unclear whether Smith would have any problems for attempting to instigate tampering, but this is far different than a team reaching out to a player or his agent. This is a player who isn't represented trying to generate trade interest at a time when his current team has not authorized trade talks. Can I give you a conspiracy theory here?
Absolutely. I hope it's the one I'm thinking about, but go ahead. What do you got?
Bears leaked this.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ooh.
That's nefarious.
I didn't think about that.
Okay.
This looks bad for him.
It looks awful for him.
Yep.
And, by the way, I believe the story to be true. You know what I mean? I absolutely believe the story to be true.
And remember, Florio went on these airwaves and other ways, like, this is a dangerous thing to not have an agent. And what's going to happen is that somebody's going to need to be making these calls. Agents talk to these people. Roquan doesn't. So people will know why Roquan's getting in touch if it's him.
Like, obviously, it's possible that someone representing Roquan Smith called up the Atlanta Falcons or the Baltimore Ravens or the Pittsburgh Steelers or whomever. And that is Florio's source. Like, hey, we got a weird call from Uncle Roquan, and, you know, that's not a thing that's supposed to happen. But doesn't this benefit the Bears for it to be out there? In the last 2 days, Adam Schefter went on up the dial and said something, and I didn't hear it, but this was paraphrased by one of the Bears' Twitter accounts, 79th and House on Twitter, paraphrased the Adam Schefter radio appearance, basically said that Schefter found out the details of the Bears' contract offer to Roquan, told it to other executives on other teams, and they were like, huh, that's a pretty fair offer. And now this story comes out. Who do those two stories benefit?
The Bears.
The Bears!
And they have the machinery to help those things
and
happen.
And how would Adam Schefter get what the Bears' offer was to Roquan? If Ian Rappaport is doing the Roquan bidding,
then they're going to counter.
Then the Bears are going to counter.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Schefter is presumably looking for, you know, it's a new front office. Presumably he's looking for some sort of in with Ryan Poles. I don't know any of this to be true.
No, but it's a great conspiracy theory.
I just know how the media works.
Yeah, and because the Bears are now playing poker. When they took him off the PUP list, they're like, okay, here we go. This is what you want, and we're going to go back and forth like, okay.
Right.
And that'd be a very Bearsy move with the leverage to be an NFL team and leak this stuff.
And it's a pretty, I mean, it's a compelling story that Schefter's saying. Oh, I have the contract details. It's a good contract. And how do I know it's a good contract? Because I told it to other general managers to see what they said. And they said, oh, wow, what a great contract. That benefits Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
This story makes Roquan Smith seem reckless. It makes him seem disrespectful. It makes him seem insubordinate. Like, this is, I still think that they'll take some time. They'll play a game this weekend. People will cool off. They'll get in a room. Ryan Poles will be able to say, hey, Roquan, phone's not ringing, man. We're not trading you for what's being offered. Our contract offer is really good. Maybe I can do A, B, or C thing to make it a little bit better for you.
Just get rid of the de-escalators, and I'm sure you'd be fine.
Like something along those lines. But like,
up the guaranteed money a little bit.
But like, hey, man,
and guys, this
I
is
want
something
you
that-
here. Just let me finish the hypothetical real quick. Like, I want you here, but know that we're not trading you for 40 cents on the dollar because we can put the franchise tag on you at the end of this season and you could be here for two more years,
right,
man.
We could wait 10 weeks. They have all the leverage. We could wait 10 weeks while you're figuring out because we don't care if we win or lose those games.
Like, I think that Roquan played his best card. The trade request, the well-crafted statement, the Ian Rappaport leak. It didn't work. Now someone in his camp is doing something reckless and straight up against the collectively bargained rules, and the Bears are like, no, nah, man.
You know what this is reminding me of?
Like,
it's all like Reggie Rose is running his camp.
I don't know.
You know?
It's
very much reminded me of that.
Here's what reminded me of, and it was my little silly conspiracy theory. Danny's is, of course, better and matters to the storyline. Mine was that.
I love that you're going to tell us anyway.
I am. Because it could still be happening. It could still be happening. It could still be part of it, okay? Remember when Donald Trump was exposed as pretending to be his own publicist?
Yeah.
Years and years ago. Hi, I'm John Miller on behalf of Donald Trump. Who's this? You sound an awful lot like Donald Trump. Well, that's okay, but Donald's a great guy. And I really think, is Roquan calling these teams pretending to be a representative of Roquan Smith? That was my little conspiracy.
That is funnier than my probably correct theory.
That's my aim.
Else an agent does for Roquan here? An agent slides in and tells him, hey, dude, shut up.
Yes.
This franchise tag after next year might pay you more than what you're worth anyway.
And an agent, right? Like, an agent can, through back channels, talk to teams.
Because the agent probably has another player. They can call and say, hey, I want to talk to you about about this guy. But really, by the way, would you be interested in Roquan if that came up? Just curious.
Right. And like that's what agents are for. Like that still is on sketchy grounds because a team has to give permission to seek a trade. But like when teams give permission to seek a trade, the agent is the de facto general manager. Drew Rosenhaus literally gets on the phone and he's like, all right, this team needs a linebacker. This team needs a linebacker. This team needs a linebacker. I call the general manager. I've worked out deals with you before. You interested in my guy? Would you sign him to this contract? Would you trade these draft picks? And the agent becomes the general manager. That's how it works.
And this is something that Jared Payton talked about with Bernstein and Holmes earlier today. He spoke because they asked him about like they're like, hey, you played in the league. Did you have an agent? And he's like, yes, it's necessary. Because, or in his mind, it was necessary because they can take care of all this stuff, and specifically, they can take care of all the back channel stuff. They can get rid of de-escalators. They can get you that higher pay if you have a good agent, and you can focus on playing football while your agent deals with the X's and O's.
Well, that's the thing. The focus.
The focus is ridiculous. A big part of it. But like, so again, like Spiegs and I have an agent. I can't talk to other broadcast outlets, but my agent reps people at other broadcast outlets. You know what I mean? So, like, if I come up in conversation, you know what I mean? It's a thing that can be done. Now, again, it's back channel. It's murkier. It's not, you know what I mean? But, like, that's why you have agents. You have agents to help you negotiate your best deal with your current employer. Mm-hmm. And if your current employer goes away, to negotiate the best deal with the next employer. That's how it works. But so, and Texter says, like, Danny, you said something like this was going to come out. The Bears were not going to just be like, oh, well, Roquan Smith wants to trade. I guess we're going to trade him. Like, that, they're going to – this is Ryan Poles playing poker. And I'm not saying that Poles directly is the source. He may or may not be.
But it sure does help them.
It absolutely helps them and makes Roquan Smith seem insubordinate and completely reckless. So I still think it gets done, but now it's getting ugly. This isn't Kyler Murray being mad about the Cardinals – in March. This isn't DK Metcalf or Deebo Samuel being mad at their teams in April or May. Like, this is, they play a game tomorrow. There's only three preseason games. Like, we are very close to the start of the season and this mattering here. So I think this is getting pretty damn ugly with this type of development, and it definitely doesn't look good for Roquan Smith. Adam Hoge at 4 o'clock. Parkins Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Congratulations. Who gives a
Afternoons on the Score.
How do you feel like you fit in this defense, and what's the communication been like with you guys in the back four?
I'll say I feel like, you know, I fit well because they run and hit. You know, that's what I do. I like to run, and I like to hit. That's what I do. I like to, you know, come up and tackle, and then also, I could show my coverage, you know, on tight ends or, you know, receivers out there. So, I say I fit a lot in this defense because they just allow you to play fast. That's what I like to do, play fast and trust my teammates. And then, you know, the communication in the back end has gone, you know, very well, especially with the safeties in the corners. You know, usually, you know, it takes time with the corners, but, you know, we've been on one heartbeat, you know, this whole, you know, camp and OTA. So, we just got to keep going and moving forward.
We'll talk to Adam Hoge at 4 o'clock. Jaquan Brisker is a very significant player for the Bears this year. That was who you just heard with Bernstein and Holmes. He's Ryan Poles' second-round pick. So his second draft pick as the top decision-maker for the Chicago Bears. Kyler Gordon, of course, was his first pick. And this is not me second-guessing it. I talked about this a lot the day after the draft. I didn't like the pick. I thought it was, given the skill set and the position, too high of a precious resource.
For a box safety.
For a box safety.
A tackling safety.
And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's a starter for a decade. I hope they found their next Mike Brown. But I'm also worried about Justin Fields not having enough around him to give a fair evaluation of him.
Longtime doubter of Isaiah Coulter.
Yeah.
Danny Parkins.
And four of the next six picks after Jaquan Brisker were receivers.
My guy George Pickens among them.
And they were all, by the way, picked by way better franchises than the Bears. Tyquan Thornton was the 50th pick out of Baylor to the New England Patriots. Now, Belichick has plenty of draft misses, missed on N'Keal Harry in the first round, but did you guys see who had a touchdown for the Patriots last night? First touchdown of the game? Tyquan Thornton.
I did not see that, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm glad that you did. This is what makes us a good partnership.
Tyquan Thornton showed both strength, and he's one of the fastest receivers in the draft.
Biggs, you're telling me you didn't see the Tyquan Thornton touchdown in the week one preseason game for the Patriots last night?
No, man.
Ruben didn't have this pulled up on his phone?
No, I was
letting you know.
You didn't go back and watch the DVR? What the heck, man?
He didn't have a phone. I'm sorry. I was enjoying my evening at the Field of Dreams game in Iowa. But I knew that Danny was watching the Tyquan Thornton sequence.
Okay. Ruben and I did talk about him not having a phone on the rooftop, and I told him I'd get him one.
That was very nice of you, Uncle Shane.
So I mean, if I ever babysit him, the first thing we're doing is going to AT&T.
It's the least you could do, too, after Speaks has bought you so many dinners.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sorry, Tyquan Thornton.
So Tyquan Thornton,
who's next?
Having a great camp, scored a touchdown in the preseason opener.
Mm.
52nd pick, 4 picks after Jaquan Brisker. Pittsburgh Steelers, pretty good organization. Select your guy, George Pickens.
Oh, my God. He's killing it in practice, trash-talking Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Just killing people. By all accounts, he's like the best offensive player on the Steelers. Like, just killing people. Next pick, 53rd pick in the draft. Alec Pierce.
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati receiver to the Indianapolis Colts, already named a starter. The first depth chart came out.
Wow.
They named him a starter. Opposite Michael Pittman, he's already earned the trust of Matt Ryan, who is raving about
that. That was Grody's guy. Grody liked Alec Pierce.
And then 54th pick, Sky Moore, Western Michigan, goes to the Chiefs. By all accounts, having a very good camp. They have not said whether he'll start or not, obviously.
Small and fast, Sky Moore.
Yes, correct. But like, Jaquan Brisker not only has to be good, he has to be really good at a position that carries less value than those other guys who were drafted. And I am not declaring any sort of victory here. Like, those, it's just preseason.
You're on the lookout for victory, though.
It's glowing camp. No, man, he's got to be good.
So what if he's good enough that it allows Eddie Jackson to become All-Pro again?
That's the thing.
That matters.
And what if he's good enough? That's a great point, Studs. And also, what if he helps Matt Eberflus totally install the culture that he's trying to install?
That matters, too. That matters, too. But Velus Jones has to be good. Like, we have to not be going through this entire season saying, oh, wow, Justin Fields has no one to throw to other than Darnell Mooney.
See, I think even if we go through the season and say that, as long as we feel like we're learning, as long as they feel like they're learning about Fields, remember, they could have a big pile of draft picks next year, and it'll be another good year for wide receivers because it always is.
I know it always is a good year for wide receivers. That is a totally valid point, and they will add receivers next year, both in free agency and the draft. I 100% agree with you on that. I'm just saying that the players that were picked right around him,
sure,
by great teams are having good camps. And by the way, Jaquan Brisker is having a good camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's absolutely possible that Ryan Poles got it right.
He's playing tomorrow, and Jaquan Brisker.
So to me, non-Justin Fields players, Braxton Jones is number one. Jaquan Brisker is number two. Like that, he matters a lot, not just for, like, Kyler Gordon matters, obviously, but like he matters for what he is, and also what he is not. Like, Ryan Poles, that was a very bold thing to have 2 second-round picks and not invest at all in offense. By the way, 6 of the next 7 picks after Brisker were offensive players. There also was a tight end and a center picked in that. So it was 4 receivers, a center, and a tight end right after they took a box safety in the second round.
You hate defense and you hate running the ball. Your name is Danny Parkins.
It's not about that.
It's not,
man,
that simple.
It's positional value,
oh,
and it's,
yeah,
about supporting the guy who matters more than anyone else.
But they don't think he matters more than anyone else.
Well, then they're wrong. I don't know any other way to say it. Like, if the Bears just like, we hired a GM and a coach who don't think that the quarterback matters more than anyone else, they're wrong.
Well, they don't think that this particular quarterback, that they have to do everything to bend and kowtow to the quarterback's potential this particular moment
in
time.
I'm not saying everything. I'm saying maybe one of your 2 second-round picks should not have been a box safety. That's all I'm saying. Adam Hogue on where this goes with Roquan, who he's watching tomorrow night. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.